Thank you, John. Good afternoon. Hi, Mike. This review presentation is a contribution of 6 co-authors, so it does not just reflect my own personal point of view. And especially I want to recognize 2 well-known software researchers. One is Dr. George Rehm, formerly with University of Minnesota. He's with us in this room now. The other one is Dr. Cindy Grant, formerly with Agri Canada. So that shows you that there's a contribution from a group of researchers, scientists, and so on. The title is dealing with the review paper on the new type of sulfur fertilizers in the granular form of NMP containing elemental sulfur with or without ammonium sulfate. Let's see. It's not moving. Yeah, it's not moving. It's up, down, or? Oh, so it's left and right, left and right.
No, I just hit that to loosen it up.
Okay, so should I put this?
Yeah, it should go down.
Okay,
now.
I see. Lately, that some fertilizer companies have developed a market to the farmers of new type of sulfur fertilizers, and such is called granular. Be sure I underscore granular. We are not talking about powder element sulfur. It's the powder element sulfur in the granular forms. And with the NMP, like MAP, TSP, and containing element sulfur, yes, with or without ammonium sulfate. Some example, like in here, will be, say, like the first one is the MAP 10S, the 10% of total sulfur, and with the element sulfur 5% and ammonium sulfate 5%. So it's kind of 50-50 proportion in the granules. And there is a 15, normally it's 50-50. And sometimes you can have a TSP with 12% of total sulfur, and that case has 12% of element sulfur, but not ammonium sulfate. Why do the companies want to use the element sulfur? Because it is 100% sulfur. So when you put the sulfur into the MP, fertilizer, you don't want to dilute the NMP content. So the best way is the element sulfur. Ammonium sulfate, only 24% sulfur, it will dilute your NMP of your MAP, DAP, TSP, etc. But the problem of element sulfur is it's not plant available. You've got to have element sulfur be oxidized to sulfate become its plant available. So the question now is the oxidation of element sulfur in the granular form versus a powder form, and so on, and versus ammonium sulfate per se. So this represents some products. Okay. The claims by the fertilizer producers are saying like this. For season long or first crop, so we are talking about initial sulfur response, not long-term residual sulfur response. For the granular TSP ES, basically it's the element sulfur oxidation, the sulfur provides available sulfur during the crop growth to maturity for the first crops, the whole cropping seasons. For the mixture of the two, the producer claiming that ammonium sulfate provides major available sulfur during the early plant growth, crop growth, while oxidation provides major available sulfur later on during the crop growth to maturity. So this is the claim that this type of product is supposed to be. So the objective of the review is to examine and discuss the agronomical results of this granular MP with ES, with or without AS product as compared with sulfate-based, that's like ammonium sulfate, gypsum, etc. in greenhouse experiment and field trials for season-long or first crop. Again, I mentioned it's just the initial crop response. We don't talk about the, or we don't emphasize much on the residual effect, okay? Before I just briefly look over the element sulfur, when in the past we have known much about the powder element sulfur if you incorporate into the soil like this. This is well known. We have many people have studied, published the paper. And normally most of the soil you can get a quick oxidation, depends on the condition, but normally it's not a problem. Even uncultivated soil, you can get like urease, you know, you can, it's almost that you can get the sulfur oxidation. Now, the granular sulfur is another story, though. If you look at the granules, NM sulfur, it's a granule form. Once these granules disintegrate, dissolve and release the micronized element of sulfur. But those micronized element of sulfur are still clustered, localized, unless you mix the soil or plow the soil or whatever. But otherwise, still crowded here. Now, because of this clustered elemental sulfur particle, even the particles are micronized size, they stick together as such, reduce the surface area. That can reduce the sulfur oxidation because the microbes would not be able to attack many surface area of elemental sulfur particle, and this is what we call locality effect. Even the ES particle in the granules are micronized. It doesn't matter. It's localized unless you plow or till the soil. Furthermore, the ES is hydrophobic properties, and the micronized ES particles can coalesce to form larger aggregates. They are hydrophobic, and therefore, it can further decrease the ES oxidation. This was all the way in 1996. Friesen mentioned about that. Simply, this figure shows the four cuts of ryegrass cumulative dry matter yield versus ammonium sulfate versus my pointer is not working well. Can I use yours?
Here, okay.
Whenever we compare the sources, we have to use the multiple sulfur rate. Don't ever use only one single rate. I'll tell you an example why. For example, here we have this MAP with 5% ammonium sulfur and 5% element sulfur. If we look at the 25 milligram sulfur, total sulfur applied, you see, oh, two sources are equally effective. It's true. But if you look at about 10 milligram sulfur per kilo, now you see that the MAP granules perform poorly and are not as good as ammonium sulfate. So without having this multiple rate, you'll never be able to tell really the two are equal or not. So number one, you have to compare different sulfur rates, not just a single rate. Let's assume that sulfur uptake, theoretically, this is the sulfur uptake versus two sources, that's the MAP10S and then ammonium sulfate. This is the amount of sulfur applied as ammonium sulfate, excluding the elemental sulfur. In other words, the ammonium sulfate rate applied. Now, theoretically, you would expect that, of course, this is the 50% of ammonium sulfate, so the maximum line will be up to here, and ammonium sulfate is in here, right? This is a half of it. And if we say delta S is the sulfur uptake from Czech soil, and this is delta S is the sulfur uptake from ammonium sulfate. And if the ES oxidation occurs and provides available sulfur, the line of MAP10S must be about the line of ammonium sulfate, and the difference represents the sulfur uptake from element sulfur oxidation. Now, the next thing is, suppose no oxidation or no significant oxidation, delta S is almost zero. That means this line of MAP10S and line of regression of NS should be follow the same line, superimposed. In other words, the data points of MAP10S should follow the regression line of ammonium sulfate. That's the hypothetical. But then let's see the data. The first one is the sulfur uptake. This is a greenhouse study for wheat at maturity in down in Brazil, greenhouse study. This is the total sulfur applied. Total sulfur applied. This is the MAP 50-50 or AS and ES. This is ammonium sulfate. So you see the linear regression line as such. The interesting thing is if you look at the slope, this is 0.15, this is 0.3, 15% of sulfur recovery by the wheat at maturity, almost half 50% of the ammonium sulfate in the greenhouse study. So it means that suggests that probably no sulfur oxidation, significant enough to provide available sulfate. And when the next slide figure shows the plot against ammonium sulfate rather than total sulfur, now you see the data points of the MAP 50-50 ES and AS follow the regression line of ammonium sulfate, suggesting that there was no significant ES oxidation to provide available sulfur to the wheat at maturity. This is a new data from Dr. Mike McClellan's group, just published in Plant and Soils for the first crop of canola, only for 6 weeks. And here, if you look at MAP, again, 50-50, versus ammonium sulfate, and this is the rate of ammonium sulfate sulfur applied and these two data points, two products, follow the line of AS. Means this initial 6 weeks that ES oxidation was insignificant to contribute available sulfur for the first canola crop, very short term. Agronomic field trials, then, there's a couple of comments I want to make. It's to our knowledge, there are no results of granular MPES or MPES plus AS fertilizer compared to sulfate-based product, ammonium sulfate or gypsum, with crop yield data ever published in the peer-reviewed scientific journal. Despite the many agronomic field trials have been conducted and the fertilizer have been marketed to farmers for some time, for several years. And we try and try, we could not find any scientific peer-reviewed scientific journal ever published the agronomic field result. Most agronomic results have been presented at the conference and the published as proceeding papers. And this review, we examine some of the reported data. So these are not peer-reviewed of the societies, only in the conference proceedings. The most important one is most of the field trials only use only one single sulfur rate for comparison for different sulfur fertilizers that may result in a misleading conclusion. The ryegrass experiment, I show you that if you pick up only the high rates, so basically the two sources are the same, but if you use the lower rates, then they're different. Let's look at one trial by Blair in 2010. Here in Brazil, the field trials with the soybean. The first crop, the MAP, that is the control, and then the gypsum, and then this TSP with 10% of elemental sulfur. And if we look at the control as 100%, and we see the gypsum is 138, and then this TSP 10% ES is 103, basically no elemental sulfur, 100% sulfur as ES, no oxidation to supply the available sulfur. The next following crop, then is sulfur got oxidation, and the gypsum and TSP 10% is about the same, over the control, significant sulfur response. But the initial response show no effect from the ES. Now, they also, Dr. Blair explained the poor result of this 103. He is saying that, the soil had never received the elemental sulfur treatment, and therefore the activity of sulfur oxidizing microbes was very, very low, that resulted in poor effect of TSP 10%S, which is, in my point of view, is unlikely because we try different types of uncultivated soil. Always we got the sulfur oxidation when the powdered elemental sulfur was applied. When we apply the granular sulfur, not so good. Okay? I have to run. But, this one is also done in field trial in Brazil. Basically, not much of sulfur response. The only significant difference is the gypsum versus the MAP 12% ES. That statistically shows significant, but not to the control. The last one is to show this new data in 2014. The sulfur 4.0, the soybean, this shows the sulfur oxidation under mulching condition. That is the pre-cropping with millet. Mill it and then cut and then left on the soil surface and mulch. And then sulfur fertilizer was broadcast under no-till condition. Here we show the sulfur oxidation. But this ES and then this mixed ES and AS are the same as gypsum, but this only based on single rate, 15 kilo. So it's not very conclusive. How about 10 kilo, 5 kilo? That we have to see that kind of result. Basically, in conclusions, this review found that the ES oxidation of granular ES, etc., this kind of product, were not significant to provide available sulfur to the season-long or first crops, unless for leaching or mulching, etc. Ammonium component of granular sulfur granules, ammonium sulfur is susceptible to leaching, not just the ammonium sulfur alone. Therefore, a severe ES leaching is also a loss for the ammonium sulfur component of granular product, okay? Comparison of these two types of granule, always you have to use the multiple rates, not only a single rate. Finally, the need to publish the agronomic field trials in the peer-reviewed scientific publication is needed. So far, we haven't found much data or information yet. Thank you very much.